Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Some marriages are short-circuited by an addiction to debt or to pornography. No matter what we're addicted to, addiction is the blinding absorption of sin. Today, advice from 1 John chapter 1 on making the move from walking in darkness to walking in the light. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on the marriage puzzle, why commitment can do what love can't. As couples, let's face each other honestly as we hear a message on the puzzle of addictions.
Today's topic is the topic of addictions. Addictions are tearing our families apart. Let me list just a few. First of all, at the top of the list, I put alcoholism. Think of the destruction that has happened because of alcoholism, the family beatings, the family secrets, the family poverty. I was in Coors Stadium a couple of years ago. Somebody took us to a baseball game there. It was in Denver, I believe. Gorgeous stadium. In fact, we ate and we could watch the game as we ate. And it dawned on me later that this whole thing was built basically on the backs of alcoholics. Oh, I know there are some people who drink and they're not alcoholics, but it's the alcoholics that are selling their homes and pushing their families into poverty to get that drink. I list also gambling. Oh, you say it's not an addiction. Oh, yes, it is. We don't have time for the stories. I must hurry on. Drugs. Cocaine addict in New York chained himself to a radiator because he said to himself, I can't get another fix. And yet he was able to somehow get that radiator loose with his free hand and eventually took the thing and carried it out on the street for more drugs. And then he says, cocaine has a voice when it calls me. I must go. Think about that. And then I suppose the one that we are most conscious of is sexual addictions of various kinds, compulsions, too many to list. But I do want to speak about pornography and the internet, just in passing. I told you many years ago that when we got onto the internet in our home, AOL, I always remember it, America Online, the day we hooked up, that night, God gave me a demonic dream. It was horrible. I've only had three in my lifetime, and one was that evening. It was a dream in black and white that I can still describe today. Three evil spirits had me up against a corner in the house, and I was totally paralyzed, and they were destroying me. Can you imagine how I felt when I woke up and, oh, thank God, that was only a dream. I interpreted it as a gift from God. What God was saying is, you now have something in your home that demons can use to destroy you. And whenever I've been tempted to go to the other side of the website and type in some of those other words where sexual material would come up, I think of that dream and that warning from God. And I thank God for that warning. If you're a parent today and you don't have filters on your computer and you have children in the home because you trust them, could I ask you a question? Tell me later, which planet do you live on? Which one? Or are you just orbiting somewhere close to Pluto? What do you mean you trust your children? I've met children who were trusted by their parents who are hooked on pornography. Its power is great, and when young people discover it, as they do now at about the age of 11 and 12, it is a horrendous burden that continues to dog them unless they're intercepted. So what you need to do is before you eat, you don't need to eat, you could survive without eating. Before you eat, go to the Moody Church website, and there we have a link that will help you to identify various software programs that can help your computer have a filter. It's more important that you do that than eating. But I do need to give you a parenthesis. If you find your children into pornography, don't shame them. There isn't a child in the world who said, you know, my parents found out and they shamed me, and therefore my appetite for pornography no longer exists. Are you kidding me? Shame becomes the fuel of this addiction, even though it will become more secret, of course, to avoid the shame. What you do is you talk to them. And you confess your own struggles with purity. Haven't we all had them? And so in humility, you say, look, I want to help you through this because this is a quagmire. This is dangerous stuff that's going to dog you for the rest of your life. So let's work together as a family. Let's talk about these things. Open communication is one of the best ways to prevent addictions, and it's one of the best ways to come out of it. Parents, please don't be so judgmental. Don't you have enough of your own sins to make you humble and broken? I hope you do. What is an addiction? An addiction is a false promise. It promises you this sense of exhilaration that you can have whenever you want. I love the definition given by someone, it can't be improved upon. No way, this is it. An addiction is nothing more than the self-absorption of sin. It's the self-absorption of sin, the blinding, there's the word I forgot to mention, the blinding self-absorption of sin. That's what an addiction is, and what a prison it is. Addictions come along as our friend. Oh, you'll be there, and whenever you need some exhilaration, I'll be there for you, and you can manipulate me, and this God, this idol is under your control, and you can have it whenever you plan to have it. Comes as a friend, but it ends up being a tremendous, tremendous tyrant and will control you. And Jesus was so right that you commit sin and you become its servant. And now you are taking orders from the voices that call you and you can't get out. What I'm going to do in the next 20 minutes with God's help is wander into Satan's territory and see if we can't win some victories today. You in favor of that? Anybody says, Pastor Lutzer, let's see if Jesus can win some victories today. But of course, we can't do it. I've never felt more helpless than I am today preaching this message. Who in the world is going to be able to go and untie the knots and deal with the shame and the forgiveness and the deliverance? I can't do it. My sermons can't do it. Wives, you can't do it for your husbands. You probably can't even do it for yourself. God has to come. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you'll make every person listening to this sermon open. We pray that their mouths and their hearts would be attuned. I pray that no one will leave because of conviction, and ask, Lord Jesus, that by your Spirit you will do which we wouldn't even think of doing, and that is to come to deliver your people from their sins. That's your work. We trust the Holy Spirit, because if the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, we're helpless. Help every man to pray here, every woman to pray here, every young person and every adult to call on you and say, God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, and it is so accurate, isn't it? Chapter 5, verse 22. Don't turn to it. Just know that it's there. It says that the wicked man is bound by the cords of his sin. Don't you like the imagery? And that's exactly true. Bound by the cords of his sin. And what are some of those cords? Let me list them for you very quickly. First of all, the cord of euphoria. You see, what the addict does is he goes into this other world that he can stimulate and that he can generate, and he can leave the world of boredom behind, and he can go into this exciting world. Just the idea of planning his next fix gives him an increase in heart rate as the sensation begins to pulse through his body. Just the thought of it. And the thing is, he can go from this false world to the real world, and nobody even knows it. So nobody knows what he's doing on the weekends. And he's able to function, he's able to hold a job, he's able to converse. But in the back, all of those other things are going on, and he can have it whenever he wants it or plans for it. This sensation, this euphoria. Second chain that holds him bound is self-worship. Self-worship is known as narcissism. Remember, narcissists, they're very interesting people. They concern only themselves. They have no concern for anybody else. Does the alcoholic father who comes home and beats his kids, does he really have sympathy for those children? No, of course he doesn't, or he'd stop doing it. What he thinks is they have it coming. He can't enter into his wife's pain. He can't enter into the burdens that other people bear. He is filled with self, self-worship. And this self-worship causes him tremendous problems. And he's totally unaware of the damage he's doing. Third, denial. I've told you before that denial isn't just a river in Egypt. Denial exists in all families, but there's nowhere where it is found as much as in an alcoholic family, a drug-infested family, a family where there's immorality or incest going on. And the denial is this. First of all, the person who's doing it shifts responsibility. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's my employer's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's circumstances. It's God's fault. And so he fails to take responsibility. He doesn't own what he's doing because he's blind to it. Remember, the blinding self-absorption of sin. What a description. So you see, he lives in this cocoon, and the cocoon isolates him and insulates him from all of the lies that he has so willingly believed. He loves these lies. He tells himself lies, and he keeps believing these lies. You know, in the New Testament, there is the light-darkness motif. Jesus used it. Someday, I want to study this even in more detail. You know, Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know that he said that. Imagine that, men love darkness. Because he says they don't want to come to the light lest their deeds be exposed. My friend, today I want to speak to you very directly about the human heart. Throughout the years, I've kind of been fascinated by human nature, looking into my own heart, knowing, of course, the experience of many different kinds of people in different circumstances. And I've discovered that all of us have some deception in us. All of us have some darkness. And so what we need to be able to do is to admit that honestly, to expose it to God, to give it to him, and to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know me. Know my thoughts and lead me in the everlasting way. But for those of you who have addictions, you have another layer of darkness. Unless you are willing to admit who you are, admit the depth of your need, be brought into despair, and to see that you cannot change by willpower, only then are you able to receive help. And in desperation, and by the way, God loves desperate people, in desperation you come to him and you ask him to show you what price you have to pay for freedom. And God will be faithful to do just that.
Erwin Lutzer, beginning a message on The Puzzle of Addictions, the seventh in a series on the marriage puzzle. Addictions of any kind can short-circuit a marriage. Next time, why addictions are like chains that bind us. The Marriage Puzzle Series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.